I ask that you pray for me as I stand before you, because we have to just lean on the Lord and depend upon Him for everything that we get as God's children. We can never take anything for granted, but we come trusting and depending upon the Lord. We recognize that it is a fearful thing to feel the burden to speak to the Lord's people. We come in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. One of the greatest evidence that you'll have that you are walking in what the Lord would have you to walk is that you're scared to death, that you have a fear in your heart about it and concern. It shows several things. Number one, it shows a sincerity that you want to do that which the Lord would have you to do and not do anything else. And you have a mighty concern, though you feel the burden. You have a concern that you don't want to be in a place that the Lord didn't put you. And if that doesn't scare a minister, he has no business in the pulpit. He has no business standing before God's people. And then we have to weigh that and trust and lean upon the Lord. And sometimes that's not easy for us to do. As a matter of fact, in your nature, it's impossible. And you have an adversary in this old world who will tell you, well, you won't be able to do this. You can't do this. Because what he would like above anything else is to rob you of being that which you should be as a little child of God and what he's called you to do. And so one of the things you have to learn as a minister is you got to trust the Lord even as you feel like maybe I'll fail. Well, that's what we are anyway. And that doesn't hurt God's children to see when we make an effort to speak in his name or do something. It doesn't hurt God's children to see that, you know, our brethren need the Lord. That's what we saw here. We saw how much we need the Lord. And that lesson, if we can get that lesson today, that's worth how many words? How many words is that really worth? How long does it take to really preach or to teach that? Well, you can't never get enough words to really teach it that. We all need the Lord to be able to do anything in our life. I need Him. I need to beg for His presence. I need to cry unto Him. And I need to recognize that my help is from Him. And He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. So let's trust in the Lord and lean on Him. And count everything, even if we're not able to. And believe me, there's one of the biggest mistakes we make as ministers is just keeping on when the Lord's done. And when we really make a failure. So it shows a wisdom for us to, you know, we don't have to stand long. If you can read the Sermon on the Mount in just about 5 or 10 minutes. Doesn't take very long. And no greater sermon was ever preached than what was preached there. So you just pray today that the Lord would have His way with me and I would be obedient and follow Him and His teaching. And already enjoyed the meeting. If we don't say any more, it's been a good time to see a brother just speak that how much church has meant to him and how much the fellowship of the Lord's people has meant to him. And that's a rare thing in this day and age to see that. We're thankful to the Lord for what He's done there. And we're just leaving the rest of that in the hands of the Lord. And I can tell you, God will take care of us. He will supply what we need. I can't wait to see what He's going to do. Because, you know, I've got a sweet confidence in Him that He will do above what we could ask or think. So we'll just continue praying and look to the Lord. So now, if the Lord will bless me, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about watching you, what you talk about. And that's an important lesson for all of us. It's not directed to anyone or any person in particular, but it is what the Lord's kind of laid on my mind. It's about all of us being very, very careful about that which comes out of our mouth and what we say. And it's directed by the writings of the book in the book of James. I'd like to read in your hearing. If you have your Bibles and can turn with me, I'd like to read in your hearing what James says on this subject in James chapter 3. And of course, like any verse in the Bible, any place we go, we're not talking about just what James thought about it. We're talking about what the Lord gave James to give to us. And what it's there for is for you and I, for our instruction as God's children, to be very, very aware of our tongue and where our tongue can lead us. He says in chapter 3 of the book of James, beginning at verse 1, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeding blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." More in this than we'll ever cover in the time allotted this afternoon, but may the Lord bless us to get that which He has for us in store today. And if we are able to get that, we'll give God the praise and the honor and the glory for every good thing. He first identifies He's talking to the brethren. And I'm thankful for that, because the brethren need instruction. Because just being a child of God doesn't mean you're always going to be saying and doing the right thing. God's children, thank the Lord, can bring forth good things out of their mouths. And the reason they're able to do that is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken up His abode in your heart, who is in you. And when God's little children speak and talk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, they speak and talk in a way that brings peace to their life. They speak and talk in a way that brings encouragement and blessings in the lives of others of God's children. But none of that would even be possible were it not for the work of grace done in our hearts by the Lord. And the glory for all of that belongs to the Lord. So let us acknowledge right off that it is only the brethren that can speak and do these good things. Only the brethren can do that. And the brethren can do that because of what the Lord has first done for them. It is an evidence when God's little children say the right thing and walk the right way and live the right way. It is an evidence of what the Lord has first done in their lives. What I'm saying to you is that the Lord hadn't done something for us, none of us would say one good thing in the course of our life. We can read over in Romans chapter 3 when the Lord laid out all the things that are wrong with man. And He told us through the Apostle Paul that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none good. He quoted from the psalmist who wrote the exact same thing. That there was, when the Lord looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, He didn't look down and see some of us doing okay and some of us not okay. He saw every one of us going away from Him, transgressing, when He said there was good, there's none good, no, not one, there's none righteous. There's no righteousness in us, that our righteousnesses, in Isaiah, He says, are but His filthy rags. In Romans, He says, our mouth, speaking specifically about the mouth, that which comes out of the mouth, He says, our mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, when something's full of something, you can't get anything else in it. If you got a bucket and it's full, you can't put anything else in the bucket. The bucket's full. And if it doesn't have... If it's not full, it's not full. It's either full or it's not full. If it's full, you can't put anything in it. If you take anything out of it, it's not full anymore. But this is full. So the mouth of man by nature is full of cursing and bitterness, which means the only thing that's going to come out of his mouth is cursing and bitterness. And that is out of the nature of man. But we see and hear things that are not that way sometimes. Who do we give the glory and the honor and the praise for that? We give it to the Lord. Because if you see something that's not that way, you see anything. Today, we sang hymns that I believe honored and praised God. I believe they gave God the glory, they gave God the honor, they gave God the praise. And we sang from our mouths those hymns. Now, it's important not only that we say it from our mouth, because we know the mouth can say things that the heart doesn't mean, but I believe we believed in our heart. And we sang those things that we believed in our heart. We came out of the mouth. With the mouth, our confession was made. With our mouth, we enjoyed deliverance. We enjoyed salvation. When we embrace that which the Lord had put in our hearts, and we said it with our mouths, and it is an encouragement. Don't you believe that the songs that are sung are encouragements to God's little children? Have you ever gone to church and just had the right song, seemingly sung? Or you gone to church and you had a question, and maybe in the singing of the hymn, without the preaching ever happening, without any preaching taking place, it's just the hymns at times and the hymn selection. That's why it's important for us to be at the service throughout the meeting. The meeting doesn't start when the first prayer has been offered. The meeting doesn't start when the preaching is going on. The meeting starts when the first song is being sung. And all of those songs, they act as, in a sense, as a preparation for the preaching of the gospel. But they actually are preaching the gospel. As a matter of fact, the congregation is, in a sense, from their lips, preaching the gospel as they speak those things. Now listen, if the heart is truly right when that is done, I'm not saying one that isn't born of God couldn't sit among the congregation and sing the hymns, but there will be no meaning in those words for that person unless God has quickened them and given them a heart to understand them. As a matter of fact, in a good, sound old Baptist church, the singing really isn't about how good does it sound naturally. It's about how good does it feel spiritually. In other words, you can have all the good natural singing in this world. It won't mean a thing if you don't feel it in your heart. And I've had some meetings I really didn't feel it like I should have and ought to have. And I'm sure all of us can look at it. And if we're honest, we know there are times we haven't enjoyed the singing like we could have and should have. What I'm saying to you, every chance we come, you and I ought to look at our song service as a time where I can, with my mouth, confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And with my heart, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I say to you, you and I have a salvation every song service. We have a salvation every song service. You say, what happened to you in the song service? Well, I got saved in the song service. Now, what did that mean? Does that mean you got to go to heaven in the song service? No. Heaven was secure for us when the Lord made choice of His people before the foundation of the world. Our eternal salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, the Father sent the Son, and Jesus died on the cross, legally we were saved and purchased and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit came in our hearts,
We were vitally saved. We were made alive, saved, created and made life by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, when you get to sit down with God's little children in a place like His church, and you get to lift up your voice and praise unto God, and you can feel it in your heart. Look, I watch the congregation. Sometimes I see tears coming out of the eyes. Sometimes I see smiles on the faces. Sometimes I see tears and smiles at the same time. And somebody looking at that congregation might say what they said on Pentecost. I believe these people are filled with new wine. Looks like something's going on with them. But it wasn't new wine that caused them to be excited. It was the person of the Holy Spirit who had come amongst them. And in our song service, if we're just singing to hear one another, if we're just singing so that we might be heard by somebody, and it isn't a profession or a confession that's coming out of our mouth, or where we get the opportunity to say, don't we have something to thank the Lord for? Hasn't the Lord done something for us this week that is worthy of us being here today that we can thank Him for? Hasn't the Lord done that over and over again in us, in our lives? If we just count what we have today, we have more blessings to be thankful for today than an eternity will ever allow us to thank Him for. And if we don't see that, we're just not looking at it right. We're not seeing it through the blessings of Almighty God. But you see, I see it in you. And the reason it's in you, I didn't give it to you. I couldn't keep you from getting it. But the Lord has knocked your little playhouse down, and He's come in and made you a new creature. And you can see Him and you can know about Him. And today you get the sweet privilege of coming one more time and lifting up our voices and just saying, thank Thee, Lord, for caring about an old rotten sinner like me. That I've not been anything in my life but selfish. I wouldn't have anything in my mouth but cursing and bitterness. But today I've got some good news to share. As a minister, I have good news. And you as a congregation have good news. When Brother Mike bowed down his knees and prayed to the Lord, I heard good news come out of his heart. And I couldn't see his heart, but I could sure see it coming out of his mouth. You know why it was there? Because the Lord put it in there. When Brother London came up and made an effort to speak to the Lord's people, I saw his humility. I saw things that only God can put in a young man. And that is a preaching. That is preaching that's in power and in demonstration of the Spirit of God. Somebody might say, oh, well, he didn't say very much. Listen, one of the big problems with preachers often is that they say too much. It isn't when we speak a little that we get in trouble. It's when we feel like we just got to speak a lot. That's why he told us in James, over here, remember where he said, and I'll give you that verse because it's good for us too. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. That's verse 19 of chapter 1. That means I ought to be listening a whole lot more than I'm talking. And especially when I'm at the house of God, I want to be open to feed on the Word of God. Sometimes when the singing's going on, you just kind of want to sit there and listen. Sometimes I see y'all doing that. I love to see someone just sitting there listening. And I know they're listening because you can see it. It's in their thing. Now, I don't think we just should continue to listen. I believe we're told to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That means it doesn't have to be on pitch. It doesn't even have to be on tune. It just has to be from the heart. And we lift up from the heart and our voice praise unto God to give Him glory and honor and praise. And if you've been able to do one of those sounds, that's an evidence you belong to the Lord. That's an evidence that one day you're going to be with Him in heaven. That's an evidence that He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. That's an evidence that Jesus loved you, the Father loved you, and the Holy Spirit loved you. Not three gods who loved you, but one God manifest in three persons. And His love was sufficient to secure your eternal salvation and take care of every trouble, problem you ever face here in this world. That ought to make you want to say something. Like, praise His name. Praise the Lord. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor. To God be the glory. And lift up our voice and praise unto Him. He said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What He's telling the brethren is, don't have a lot of bosses in your church. Don't have a lot of bosses in your life. As a matter of fact, in reality, if we go to what Matthew says in Matthew 23 and verse 8, and the Lord gives this instruction, himself, Matthew 23 and verse 8, Jesus said this to those Jews that were here, the scribes and the Pharisees. He spake to the multitude and to his disciples. The first verse in chapter 23, speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, "And be not ye called rabbi," which means master. He says, "For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye your brethren." Isn't that good to know today? The church doesn't have a bunch of bosses. If you got a church in trouble, it's a church that's got a bunch of bosses. You got a home in trouble, it's a home that's got a bunch of bosses. You got a job that's on trouble, you got too many bosses. You know what they say, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. We need to remember in our lives, sometimes we think, who's the boss? And sometimes we want to think, I'm the boss. And even if we don't think that, sometimes we act that. And the reality, what the scripture says, is there's only one true master. There's only one who is above all other. There's only one that we are accountable to today. There's really only one you and I need to answer to today. And even though we need to respect one another as brethren, even though we need to be aware of one another because our master says that, our master is the one we're to be above all others concerned about. And that master is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling the brethren, here's my brethren, be not many masters. In other words, be brethren. We're all brethren. What does that mean? That means nobody in this church is more important or less important than anyone else except the Lord. Hey, he is the one who is the head. And all the rest of us are just parts of the body. And just like whatever part he's made you to be, that part is important for you to be that part. And in order to be that part, you've got to get your strength from the master. You've got to get your strength from the Lord. The pastor can't give you that strength. The deacons can't give you that strength. The sisters of the church can't give you that strength. The brethren of the church can't give you that strength. There's one only who can give us the strength to be what we're supposed to be, and that's the Lord. And by the way, what's true in the Lord's church in that respect is also true in your individual family and in your individual home and on your job and whatever you do. Above everything, we're to look to the Lord and look to Him for our strength and for our help. And He can help us do the job, whatever that job is. If it's driving a dump truck, or if it's teaching children, or if it's being a banker, or if it's being a nurse, or whatever it might be. Whatever we have, we need the Lord and be able to do anything. And by the way, if you're able to do anything right and good, if you're able to cut that hair just right, if you're able to teach those children just right, if you're able to do whatever job on an air conditioner or whatever you might be able to do, every bit of that ability comes from the Lord. And to whom belongs the praise? Now listen, you know what our mouth will do and what our head will do? It'll get wrapped up in itself, and the next thing you know, we think we're our boss. And the next thing you know, we think we're running the show. And the next thing you know, the car's gone off the road. And we wonder, how did I get in this ditch? Well, who's driving? Who's driving? You know, there's a little sign people put on the back of the car. The Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ is my co-pilot. God is my co-pilot. I saw another one time that said, well, if God is your co-pilot, get out the car and let Him drive. Move over and let Him drive. Listen, He's not my co-pilot. He's my pilot. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Help me. Whatever it is I'm doing. If I'm in school as a student and I'm trying to learn, Lord, give me the strength to learn. Whatever I'm supposed to be doing, Lord, and if I'm not supposed to be doing it, then Lord, just show me that so I'll stop. And so that my life every day, every hour becomes about living for Him. And I'm giving Him the praise and the honor and the glory. By the way, He gave you your life if you have it. If you're breathing air, He's the one who gave you air to breathe. If your body works at all, He's the one who designed it and made it. He's the one who will keep it. He's the one who will give you the strength for it. He's the one who can take care of you no matter what you're going through. And if anyone is able to help you, whether it be a doctor or whether it be a lawyer or anyone else in this world, the only ones who can truly help you have to get their help from the Lord. It all comes from the same place. And that is, without Him I can't do anything, and with Him I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. Kind of makes things simple, doesn't it? What does it mean? That means I'm not the boss, He is. So when you get in a home and you start having a fuss, most of the time it's about who's the boss. And that means we've got our eyes off the Lord and on ourselves. And that happens as well as in the church, as well as in your families or whatever. And if we keep that mindset that I'm but a servant of the Lord, and He, you won't get your feelings hurt near as much when you find things in the way that go contrary, because you say, I'm turning it over in the Lord's hands. You said, Brother Gary, we already know this. I know you know it, but you need to hear it again. And I need to hear it again. And I need to hear it if you don't. So I need it. It's right here in the Word. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, which means you as God's children are especially should be aware of this. You have been born of the Spirit of God. You've been made alive. You're not in the dark anymore. You've been made light in the Lord. You've been given the truth of God's Word. There's much it's been given to you as a little child of God. And you and I, not only are we blessed in a spiritual way to be God's children, we have come to an understanding of the truth. Those who have been in the Old Baptist Church and heard the doctrines of grace preached and believe them and hold them, you've been given a great blessing, a blessing to know that God is the one who gave you your salvation and everything comes from Him and that you need Him. And for us to ignore that and think we're the boss, we receive a greater condemnation from those who hadn't been taught as much as... When you hear things taught from the Word of God, you are accountable for the things that you hear. He gives us those things and holds us accountable to walk in them and to live in them as much as we're able. Now again, what am I talking about? Doing this on your own? If you got that, you missed it altogether. I can't do it on my own. And that's what James is about to teach. He says, for in many things we offend all, which means really, in a nutshell, we mess up all the time. In other words, in many things we offend all. All of us make mistakes. All of us come short of the glory of God. All of us need His deliverance. All of us are never going to be perfect. There is no salvation in perfection. If we in our perfection, it takes perfection for us to be safe and secure in the love in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that perfection is not of us; it's given to us by Him. It's in us, but it's been given to us. We don't work it. We can't work that for ourselves. By the keeping of the law, there no flesh shall be justified in His sight through the law. But he goes on and he says, for in many things we offend all. He says, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, what he's saying there is, if you can control your tongue, the body is going to be all right. In other words, if you can control that tongue and what comes out of the mouth, if we can do that, what we say and what we speak, we can keep the whole body under subjection. But he goes on to say this, no man's able to bridle the tongue. Which of us can bridle that tongue? Well, by experience, we know how quick our tongue can operate, how quick it can move, how quick it goes. And if we think we can control it, we will not be able to do that. There's only one way to control it, and that is looking to the Lord to help us and guide us and pray to Him, Lord, help me save what I'm supposed to out of my mouth. And when I'm not supposed to say anything, Lord, just help me keep silent. He says, behold, and here he goes on to explain that. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us and we turn about their whole body. In other words, I don't know much. I've never ridden a horse. I admire people that do and have and can. Those of you who have can relate to this verse better than I can. But I do see people, they put their bit in the mouth of the horse. And when you pull on this side, the horse will go this way. And when you pull on that side, the horse will go that way. And if you didn't have that to control the horse, a horse out of control can cause a whole lot of mess. And the bit is put in his mouth, not because... in order to control that animal that could not be controlled another way. He says, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And behold also, he says, the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You take this big ship out on the ocean, And you think, boy, it would take a whole lot to take this ship, go this way with it, or that ship and go that way with it. And indeed it would, but a little bitty rudder at the back of that ship and run by the man in the helm of the ship, guiding that and directing that, will direct that ship in this direction and in that direction. It takes the whole body in that direction. And what he's really pointing out here is just like that happens in the mouth of a horse, and just like that happens with a ship, that tongue that you and I have directs this entire body. In other words, just a little few words that seem like they don't mean very much affects our entire body. Just a few words that may not seem to be very much can be a great blessing to us. But just a few words in the wrong direction can be a great harm to us. And if you ever had just a few words spoken in your life, I can look back, as I said this morning, over my life, and I can see many words that I've said, some of them with the best intent, that if I could, I would roll back the years and I'd go grab those words and I'd never speak them, because they had a big impact. And even at the time I said them, I thought that I was on track for some of them. Some of them I knew I wasn't on track. I just had gotten hot and mad. You ever just gotten hot and mad? And the next thing you know, all kinds of things come out of you. You know who's just waiting for us to get hot and mad, and who's there to help us? So that, notice where it's set on fire of hell, which is really saying it's set on fire of the devil. The devil is awaiting for God's little children to get in the flesh so that he can have us say a whole lot of words, though those words can do so much harm and so much damage, he goes on to point out the danger that we have and the importance that we have in controlling that little unruly member, the tongue, and how just a few words. How many times have we been to church and just a few words from the minister has meant so much to us? Or just a few words from a member has meant so much to us, when it's coming from God's Word and it's said in truth and in power? I've often heard men on the radio say a whole lot of good things in the middle of a sermon, and they'd be preaching away and I'd get so much good out of it, but then they come towards the end of it and just have to say a few things that were contrary to the Word of God. And it was like the brethren said, it was like a cow that had given a good bucket of milk, and before you could get your first drink, he kicks it over or puts his foot in it. And just a few words. That's why it's good, when you don't know what to say, to not say anything. That's why it's good. Because a few words missaid can do so much harm and so much damage. And how do we control that? Well, let's read on. He says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, which means the tongue can be of great benefit. Just a few words in the right place can mean so much to a little child of grace. I'll tell you what, that's what happens when you sing Amazing Grace. Or How Great Thou Art. Not many words there, but it reaches down and touches your very heart and your very soul. And when preaching is going on, and when it's done in power and demonstration of the Spirit, listen, when the Lord comes down there while the preacher's preaching and He talks to you right in that preaching, and you feel it and you know it, that He's speaking to you and that this is for you and it's His Word. Otherwise, it's just empty. But when the Lord applies it to your heart, it has an impact on your life. Listen, preaching of the gospel, I'm going to tell you, has changed my life. To hear the good news of salvation by grace has changed my life and has made a difference in my life. Did it give me eternal salvation? Absolutely not. The Lord God of heaven worked that in sending His Son into this world, and Jesus died on the cross and paid the sin debt for me, and that's where my life came from. But the words of God's truth has changed the way I think and act and behave in this world. It has directed and helped my life. But then if we go the other direction, just a few words can cause so much harm and damage. That's why it's important that we guard not only what we say, but what we hear. Not only our speaking, but our hearing. That means what we put in if we put in a whole lot of discouragement and a whole lot of things that are false and a whole lot of things that are contrary, we know of brethren that have stood with us and have been in fellowship with us who allowed themselves to open up to all kinds of ideas and thoughts, and the next thing you know, they're gone and they've departed from us because just a few words spoken, and then continuing to speak those same untruths. We shouldn't be speaking untruths to one another. That's why when we're on a trip or when we're riding down the road, we ought to be talking about the Lord and the things of the Lord. You know, it's so easy for us to slip over into something else. You know what happens when you slip over into something else? The first thing you know, somebody said something that's caused somebody else some heartache and some trouble, maybe not even intentionally. And you get, we just have, and I'm not talking about we communicate in the Lord. It's important what we say to one another. We communicate in the Lord. He said, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Have you ever, you know, a fire never starts out as a big thing. It just starts as a little thing. Just a little fire. And fire's good though, isn't it? We need fire. You know, you get light from fire. A candle lit gives you light. Or a candle, a fireplace gives you heat. But you want to control that, don't you? It's got to be under control. Because if you get it out of control, I remember a long time ago, Jimmy will remember this, I've had a fireplace at the house, didn't know much about that, so I just wanted to get a fire going pretty quick and everything, so I had some dry kindling there and some old wood construction parts and stuff, and I just thought, well, I want this fire going real quick and good, so I just dumped the whole box over in the fireplace. Well, I'll tell you the next thing you know, I heard up in the chimney, there's a making this noise, and the next thing you know, fire trucks were pulling out in front of the house because the neighbor had saw the sparks flying out of my chimney because the chimney had caught on fire. And I hadn't been there very long, but it wasn't enough creosote for it to last very long, but I cleaned my chimney that day. But that was over. I didn't control the fire. I misapplied. Listen, God's children, it's important that we speak the truth to one another. It's important that we share that truth, and we share it in love, and we share it in the fruit of the Spirit, and we share it in peace. And that we're careful how we speak to one another, how we talk to one another, so that our words are that which encourage and admonish and help and instruct. Doesn't mean we can't be honest. We need to be honest, but we need to be honest in love. And what I say to you about that, we need to do that in our homes and in our family. I think of sometimes the way I've talked to my children and the way I've talked to my family, even though I might have meant well, I needed to have it tempered. My fire got out of control, and you know, it can cause great, great harm. The Lord never spoke a word like that. Everything He said was always right on time, right in place. But you know how many of us have made a mistake? You know what the Bible says? We all have. We all have. And He says, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. And it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. Don't you marvel sometimes how men can take the big animals, lions or tigers, and he can get in there with them and have them do this and have them do that trick. Sometimes they don't have them as tamed as well as they want to have them, but it's amazing what they're able to do with that. But notice what he said about the tongue. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Which means if we let it just run its course without the help of the Lord, without the instruction of the Lord, without the control that comes from the Lord, if we just say it, we're going to cause harm and damage. So how could we handle that? Well, we have to look to the Lord. We have to lean upon the Lord. He says, therewith, that is with the tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. In other words, we're praising God with our voice and then going down the road telling everybody off or saying something. It's important that we remember Even no matter where we are, we are His. We are part of that chosen generation no matter where we are. We are part of that royal priesthood no matter where we are. We are part of that peculiar people that are to be separate from the world. And because everybody else does it, doesn't mean it's okay for us to do it, because God has called us to a higher walk and a higher life. And it's not about us being something, it's about being His child. And somebody said, well, am I going to let them get away with that? Do you believe your master can take care of things? Isn't he able to handle that? Isn't he already handling that? And when we step up and act like we got to handle it, who then have we said is the master? We've actually taken a place that doesn't belong to us. We're to leave it in the Lord's hands. Now, who of us have this to battle? The Bible says every one of us have this to battle. Every one of us. We all in many things we offend all. He goes out, he says, doth, and then he points out that is not the way it ought to be. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. And he gives examples. He says, does a fountain send water at the same place sweet? Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? That means if you have a fountain that's no good, you're going to get sweet water one time and bitter water the next. No, you're going to get the same kind of water you got before. Now, why is it then that you and I can have some sweet water and bitter water that seem to come out of us? I'm telling you, there are two. We have a dual nature. We have the spiritual man that brings forth the good things, but we have that old carnal man. That old natural man that you got to keep under subjection. And so when you're talking, be sure you're listening to what you're saying. Is it faith that's speaking, or is it fear that's speaking? Is it the spirit that's speaking, or is it the natural man that's speaking? Is it the carnal man that's speaking, or is it the child, the regenerated soul that's speaking? And what he's saying here is you keep under that old man and his deeds, and you put on the new man. And when we do that, one thing we'll do is probably talk less, and what we're going to say is going to be a whole lot more important. He says, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? And then he points out in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, conversation, as we pointed out many times before, is not just talking about what you say, it's talking about what you live. And so if we're going to be a wise man is the one who takes what God says in His Word and applies it to his life. He says, a wise man is endued with knowledge among you. It's not just the dead alien sinner. It's not the dead alien sinner that does that. Again, it's only the child of God can do it, but then the child of God must follow the Scripture in order to be truly a wise man. And one thing that child of God must see is that without the Lord, I don't know anything. Once you recognize you don't know what to say, unless the Lord gives you words, you're on pretty good ground then. When you say, okay, Lord, help me keep quiet until you give me what to say. And then what I say, Lord, let me be faithful. He says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. In other words, don't be praising about, be thankful or boasted in that. And lie not against the truth. And that's really what happens when we get envying and strife in our hearts. We're denying the truth. And he says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And that means it's coming out of this old flesh. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, get this, when I'm walking in the wisdom that comes from the Lord, it's going to be pure, it's going to be peaceable, it's going to be gentle. It's going to be gentle. Preaching needs to be gentle. I hope and pray that I'm being gentle. I want to be gentle. Sometimes when I get in the flesh, not so gentle. We're not gentle. We don't want to be weak. We want to be bold, but we want to be gentle. We want to teach God's children so that they can learn and walk in it. The wisdom that comes down from above is pure. That means it's from God's Word. Nothing added to it. Nothing taken from it. It's peaceable. It brings about peace in your life as God's children. It's gentle and it's easy to be entreated. full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And then he says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You want to find peace in your life? You walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You walk in the wisdom that the Lord has given us. And let us watch what comes out of our mouth. With the mouth, let us be sure that with the mouth we're making confession of our belief in the Lord. When I make statements that don't express my belief in the Lord, I'm not confessing that He's God. When I make statements that speak to His working in my life and Him being with me in my life, I am confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with my mouth. I'm believing in my heart and I'm trusting in Him, and I should measure everything I say by that standard. When I do that, I'm going to be on track. Now, will any of us do it perfectly? He just told us we wouldn't. What we should strive to do is do it as much as we can in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And when we do, give God the honor and the praise and the glory. I do appreciate your attention this afternoon and your prayers. Please continue to pray for me. God bless you.
Three points.